This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix. Norman, Oklahoma.
That's $10 in the jar.
I was just thinking, don't forget to say Norman. Don't forget to say Norman. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 1st, episode 2151. For those that are new listeners, I just moved here from Phoenix, Arizona.
About six months ago, and she still can't get it right.
That should be. It was like 4 months ago, thanks. It's brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Jennifer.
I swear to God, Jennifer.
And she's on mute.
Coming up.
Oh my God. It's not that hard.
I can't get it right. Coming up on today's show, following a brief pause, we're going to open up with Dr. Chang and another one of his fascinating chats about keeping our horses healthy and happy and not stressed. And then auditor Jessica is going to stop by and she's going to tell us an update from her travels around the United States, this time Arizona, Phoenix, maybe. No. And then equestrian first world problems is going to put it all in perspective. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Oh my gosh. I swear these producers, you're both fired. You have one job.
We're useless. I know.
Hey, let me, I was going to come out and talk about Jaunty Evans making the return. He hopped on Art and was cantering around at a dressage show at an event. And he is back in the tack. And this is of course, Jaunty Evans, who was in a coma for 6 weeks before that. We had all crowdfunded to get him Art, his horse. Anyway, I want to talk about that's, I'm so excited for him. Congratulations, Jaunty. Can I ask you a question? You have a dog.
Yep.
I know all of us, most people listening have dogs. What is it? Why can't I go to the bathroom? I live in this little old house. It's like, I don't know, it's the size of a cracker box here in Oklahoma. And I go to the bathroom, but the doors, like this house is so old, like the doors don't really latch. Why is it that when I go into the bathroom,
I don't miss that, by the way, having a house like that. I don't miss it.
Man, the dogs, why can't they just let me go? It's like they see this as an opportunity because I'm stuck and I'm sitting down and they have to come in and get, but what happens is they open the door and then I'm sitting on the toilet going pee and people are walking by and it's like so annoying. Get out. Leave me alone. Why can't I pee in peace?
We've never had a dog do that.
God. They all follow me around. And they think it's like the hugest insult to be locked out. So now they've realized they can just push the bathroom door open. And then it's like a really narrow. So there's three dogs that are like vying for pets. And it's like playing the drums like on their head. I don't have enough hands. It's so frustrating. And finally, this morning, I broke. I was like, get out of the bathroom and stop opening the door. Like Chad walks by. I'm in the bathroom. Nobody needs to be a part of that. Yeah. Close the door, dogs. Sorry.
There's an advantage to having a greyhound that's blind is she doesn't adventure out to do things very much anymore. So she just lays around. So.
I would like to hear from other listeners whose dogs feel that the bathroom is a pet time. They're like, it's me time. She has to sit there and has to pet us. There's nowhere she can go. She's stuck.
Or you've spoiled them rotten. One or the other.
There's some of all of that. But I can't be the only one whose dog thinks it's like a victory to see you on the toilet.
You're gonna have to put like a concrete block inside the door and put it inside the door every time you close it now.
It's so annoying. I mean, I think I could actually get the door to latch if I, you know, like linebacker.
Oh, you know what you need? When you go to gas station bathrooms sometimes, which are really disgusting usually, and the door doesn't work, they put that little latch thing, they put that little hook thing on. You just need to put the little hook thing on.
Yeah, that sounds really logical. Or get out!
I think that's got an easier route. All right, Daily Winnie time. We have three auditor birthdays today. Happy birthday to April Kamik, Jennifer Pig, and yes, her name is actually spelled P-I-G-U-E, and she had messaged me this morning, and I said, how do you say your name? And she said, yep, pig like the animal. My students call themselves piglets.
Aww.
Isn't that cute? And Hannah
remember,
Barker.
April has come to visit me. She brought vodka, so she's forever, my friend. And did you say Hannah Barker?
Hannah Barker also. So happy birthday to all of them.
Thunder snow! Play it!
Ready to go. Gates are back. They're racing in the Dubai World Cup. North America flew out. Went straight to the front. Second, Gronkowski. Thundersnow wants the front. Capizano holding up over on the inside. New Trails was next. Audible, followed by Axelrod. Then Yoshida. Dolcon was up on the outside. Tillings off to Pavel, who'll be third from last with Seeking the Soul. And Gunavera from the inside pole went right back to the rear. North America, the leader over Thundersnow as they leave the straight. Capizano needs a little bit more room over on the fence. It's reefing and tearing against the rider. Up on the outside is Gronkowski as they go to the back from New Trail. Then came Audible. A length away in the field is Dolcong. Just ahead of Dolcong, in actual fact, was Axelrod. Audible's back on the fence. Then came Pavel. Yoshida Seeking the Soul and Gunavera sees them all. Down the back, 28.68 was the first 400 metres. North America is the front runner. Moving up on the outside to tackle it now is Gronkowski. Thundersnow is between horses as they're about to turn off the back. Capizano down on the rails ahead of New Trails. Two lengths away in the field, then to Axelrod feeling the pinch. Pavel takes off. Yoshida was next of all. Then Audible Seeking the Soul. About to make a long run from the back with Gunavera. And Dolcong's back at the rear. Top of the straight. And Gronkowski is pouring on the pressure to North America, still travelling okay. Thundersnow is sweating on them. Three lengths away then to Pavel around the outside of that next of all, then New Trails. They were followed by Capizano, but Gronkowski went to the lead. Thundersnow out in the middle. North America down on the fence. Pavel from a long way back. Gronkowski the front runner, 250 metres to go. Thundersnow on the outside, levelling up. Down the outside, Gunavera and Pavel. Thundersnow go going after Gronkowski. Thundersnow reaches the front. Gronkowski fights hard. Thundersnow, Gronkowski. Thundersnow on the outside. Nose in front. It's double thunder. Double thunder with Thundersnow getting in a nose to Gronkowski.
Oh my gosh. That is millions. The first place got $7.2 million, okay? And when you look at the photo finish, Thundersnow, it was like his front tooth.
Yeah.
That just got ahead of Gronkowski. And I'm sure they were going crazy because Gronkowski was in the lead like the whole time. And then all of a sudden, Thundersnow just kind of came up just enough to make it happen. So really, really great race. So
and
the money is going
to
stay.
First one to go
Dubai.
Back-to-back, right?
Oh, yeah. First horse ever to win back-to-back Dubai World Cup titles. I mean, and by the way, he hasn't won a race since last year's Dubai World Cup.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. I'm like, if you're going to save it up for one thrilling victory, this is the one.
Now, isn't he owned by the Sheikh?
Yes.
So the Sheikh's basically giving money back to himself?
He got a payday. Got a payday of his own money.
That, by the way, looking at the videos here, that's a beautiful track. My goodness. That's a that's a nice
it's
track.
It's all fake. That's what money can do.
Well, Jennifer, you did a little ride over the weekend, actually a long ride over the weekend, and you went to an endurance ride. And for those that have been hanging around the show for the last couple of months, we know that the endurance rides haven't gone very well for Nigel and Jennifer. Nigel has issues, and you decided to try it again. So you did, what, a 10 on Friday, right?
That's right, yes.
So how'd it go?
The 10 mile, which is the shortest they make. That's as short as it gets. That's the short stirrup for small children division.
Right. And you actually did even shorter than that because you had a babysitter.
Well, I had training wheels along. The lovely Jennifer Jones hung out with me, and I put a post up on Facebook, and I said, I'm going to turtle the 10 mile on Friday. Turtling is what the endurance riders call it when you want to go slow on purpose. And I redefined turtling, because apparently when you turtle in an endurance ride, that means you just trot slowly. But Nigel doesn't have a slow trot, so we walked. So we walked the 10 miles.
How long does walking 10 miles take, by the way?
That is the worst thing I've ever heard, walking on a horse for 10 miles.
How long did that take?
47 days.
It takes about 2 hours.
2 hours? Okay.
Yeah. He walks really, really fast. Little Ginger, her awesome little Morgan horse that she was riding, got to jig and trot a lot because Nigel's walk is really, really
that
fast.
That sounds even worse.
Yeah, when we go out for walks,
my butt was kind of sore.
I'm following with little Scooter, 12 and a half hand Scooter in the cart. Scooter, we have to trot every once in a while just to catch up. You know, he does have a fast walk. And then you proceeded to do what the rest of the day on Friday while hanging out for your Saturday ride?
Well, we came back from our ride and we settled in and I sat down and had myself a nice lunch. I'd packed lunch along and apparently something in the lunch was bad. Yeah. So I kind of spent the rest of the day really, really close to my, thank goodness I had it, portable toilet in my horse trailer.
Because they were in primitive camping. So imagine being violently ill.
Yeah, primitive camping, no power, no water.
The mayonnaise needs refrigeration, Jennifer.
Apparently. You must have been, that was awful. And I could think because you had to ride 20 miles the next morning thinking, this better get better by the next morning.
Well, I was like, okay, I can't eat anything. I don't want to drink anything because, you know,
I feel like we're focusing on the wrong thing here. Let's get back to the mileage.
Then we head into Saturday morning and you were supposed to do 20, but this wasn't doing the whole turtle thing, right?
On day two. The whole point was to start out relaxed and calm, and then just let him pick up the pace a little bit once we got going. Now, again, the 5 mile loop is used by more than 50% of the competitors. So on that 5 mile loop at any given time, there's going to be between 25 and 30 horses, which means everybody's kind of crowded together, so to speak. So you're constantly either passing or being passed. When you're riding a thoroughbred, that can sometimes get a little tricky. So started out and things were going pretty well. And he was slowly but surely getting more and more amped up as we went along, which is his usual MO. And I learned the hard way that if I really let him get out of a walk, even if it's a jig, that's the end of the game. It's the Kentucky Derby. Just hold on tight. It's all over. And I didn't really want to do that for 10 miles again, but I got to be the luckiest endurance rider the entire weekend, and we got to a particular spot in the course where two different loops crossed over each other, and you had two different divisions riding on the same trail at the same time. And lo and behold, in my opinion, second most famous endurance riders in the United States, Jeremy and Heather Reynolds, were right there. And they trotted happily past me. Hi, how you doing? Having a great ride. Do-do-do-do-do. Trotting along in loose rein. Ears are up. Everybody's happy. And I said, that's it. I'm following them. They look happy. So I followed them. And their horses were trotting at just a speed that I could rate Nigel. We didn't have to do the Kentucky Derby. So for about 7 miles, we cruised along behind those guys. And everything was great. I was exhausted. Every muscle in my entire body hurt, but there was no battle. It was great. And they have these little water stops along the way every couple of miles. And everybody stops, and they sometimes even hop off their horse, and they rinse them off, and they have a drink, a little pat, maybe a bite of hay. But again, I've learned through experience, not a good idea to stop at those, because then Nigel thinks it's just the starting gate all over again. So we don't stop. Keep going through the water stop. Otherwise, he just turns into a raving maniac. So I just kept going. And the first 10-mile loop, we got to the last mile or so. They always have it labeled when you get to near the end, that the end is near. And I let him come back to a walk, and he did it. And we got back to the vet stop, and we finished our first 10-mile loop of the day, because we have two, in good order. And it was like, I was so excited.
Were those people that you were following, like, who's this?
They're like number one and two in the country in endurance.
They're like, who's this girl? Yeah, yeah. Why can't we shake her?
And I thanked them profusely when we got finished for letting me, you know, steam up their tails. Because when Nigel's galloping along, he's a little bit of a noisy galloper.
And they're riding these tiny little, Arabs. Nigel leering over them.
Well, congratulations. Yeah. So you got the second 10 done as well. You have.
No, I only got. I'm only halfway through my day. I had to do it all again. Because it's only a 10-mile loop, and I had a 20-mile ride.
And it went well, though, right? Second half?
Second loop was the first time we went out all by ourselves. And when he started to work himself into a frenzy, it's like, okay, then just go. And he let me rate him the entire way around. We actually stopped at one of the water stops where he was good about it. Then we get back, and each time you get back to camp, regardless of how many loops and how long your race is, you essentially have to trot out for the judges to make sure that your horse is still sound. And the last time we get done with the entire race, all 20 miles, you have to trot out for the judges. I was really, really sure I wasn't going to be able to trot. It's like six steps you have to trot. Oh my gosh, it was the longest six steps of my life.
Oh, you have to actually get off and jog your horse after doing that.
You have to jog your horse, yes, each and every time.
Jennifer was pretty exhausted yesterday.
Let me ask you a real live question, and I want the honest answer. And I know that there's a lot of endurance riders that listen to this show, but they're not listening right now. I want you to pretend that they're not here and answer this question honestly. Is what you did any fun?
Yes, it was fun.
Really?
Yes.
And be careful what you say, because how many listeners did you see over the weekend? About a dozen recognized you?
Probably a dozen. Yeah. People kept walking by me and pointing at me and go, "You're that lady on the podcast."
So hello, all of you.
Hi, everybody.
We apologize if Nigel scared anybody being twice the size of everybody else.
That girl.
He did startle the vets a little bit. He kept leaping and bucking when we were trotting him out.
Please have that.
Woohoo, it's fun.
Yeah, but this is the first time she wasn't really that girl.
She just said the vets were scared of her because he was leaping and bucking.
Yeah, but he got all A's. He got all A's on his vet checks.
Got all A's, yep.
He's graduated. Yep. Next 50 miles.
No. We were informed, all of us, short stirrup crew, we were informed at the ride meeting. They have everybody come together and they talk about what's going to happen in all the trails and all the rules and stuff. And the ride meeting that don't forget that a 50 mile is a real endurance ride. So that's a goal, guys.
After you get done with 30.
What? These endurance riders are pushers. It's like, we have crack and we're going to get you to take it. And you know, you can't do anything about it. It's y'all are crazy. You endurance people are pushers. Thank God they do endurance racing. Otherwise, they'd be selling drugs.
You would have to be, though, to do that, wouldn't you? I mean, totally, like, in the camp. You'd have to be.
Yeah.
There's no way you could do it otherwise. Anyway, well, so congratulations, Jennifer. Good job. And yesterday, she pretty much didn't move all day. We're getting too old for this. Yep.
Oh, my God.
All right. Which do you want to do first?
I have to tell you guys a story.
Okay.
we will save first world problems for a little bit later, because, you know, we've done this segment here and it's called Things That I Have Heard in Oklahoma. And then there's Things That I Have Said in Oklahoma, when it was like 48. And I was like, it's not that bad. Like, that's really cold. But I was like, it's not that bad. So just we've done Things I've Heard in Oklahoma and then Things I've Said in Oklahoma. Well, this segment today is called Things I've Done in Oklahoma. Okay. Now you tell you a story. We have this pond in our pasture. It's very small. It's mud. There is literally nothing in it but turtles. Like, there's no fish. Lucas goes out there and tries to fish all the time. There's just nothing to catch. So we decide we are going to stock the pond. Well, Chad, of course, the morning, Sunday morning, we're supposed to go to get the fish to stock the pond. They only make their way through town like every 4 months. The fish stocking people. This is a thing.
They show up in a fish truck and they have a little ramp and it goes and they slide them all off into your pond.
You would think that that's how it goes.
Like,
no.
Like I'm picturing a cement truck for fish with the little fish coming out the back.
That would have been more reasonable than what happened.
Oh.
So I have to go on Sunday morning in the rain with my child, because I can't just leave him at home, to Ellison Feed and Seed, which is a feed store. And they are the ones that are going to have the people that have the fish in this whatever vessel to have this. So I get there and it's like you have to be there between 7 and 9 is when they're going to be there. And so we get there like 7:30 and oh my God, there's 100 people in line. And when I say people, they're all men and they're all really large and they're all very country. So Ellison Feed and Seed has attracted people from miles around into this little town. So I'm in line in the rain with my child waiting to buy fish. So then you have to go up and I'm like, hey, how's this work? They're like, you got to go up to the it's a tractor trailer. Okay. You got to go to the cab of the tractor trailer because the guy selling the fish is sitting in the cab of the tractor trailer. So I walk up to the cab and I'm like, knock on the cab door. You know, nobody else is paid, I guess. I'm like, hey, I need to buy some fish. Okay. Sounds good. He goes, what do you want? I'm like, I don't know. What do you got? You know, it's like a drug deal. Like, I'm just knocking on somebody. And he's like, what do you want? I'm like, I don't know. What do you got? Because when you talk to somebody with that Oklahoma accent, you just talk right back to them in that accent. And he's like, how big's your pond? And I was like, I don't know. I don't, it's muddy. It's kind of small, but yet kind of big. He's like, I can't help you if you don't know how big your pond is. I was like, I don't know. Like, do you measure a pond size in acres? If it's so, it's a quarter of an acre maybe. And he's like, all right, quarter acre. It's spring fed. I don't know. It's just a freaking muddy thing in my pasture and it's red. And he's like, oh, okay. He's like, how am I supposed to know what you're going to get if you don't know what you have? And I was like, listen, friend. I was like, I am standing.
Maybe Chad would have been better to send for this.
You think? I'm like, I'm going to try to tell you this and not cuss. I am standing in the GD rain. I go, you know what, man? I've never bought fish out of the back of a tractor trailer in Oklahoma in the rain. With a 5-year-old, you're going to have to help me out a little bit. I don't know what I'm doing. How am I supposed to know? He goes, what kind of fish you want? I don't know what kind lives in muddy ponds. How many do you need? I don't know. You know what? You sell fish out of a tractor trailer every day. This is my first time. You're going to have to tell me what I need. Do you know what I ended up buying?
Catfish.
25 catfish.
I knew, because of Muddy Pond, that's all it's going to live is catfish.
And some sort
of... Rainbow trout is not going to live in your Muddy Pond.
It is apparently not a place for bass.
No, no, they really like to breathe.
This chat is like, get some bass. And I'm like, he's like, you don't want a bass.
No, you need to... You would have to have a put a fountain in the middle of your pond to get it aerated to have some bass.
Well, apparently, I learned that bass fish need a little tiny fish to eat, and I don't have any little tiny fish. And I was like, well, don't you sell little tiny fish? And he's like, well, we sold out. Like, it's 7:30 in the morning. How are you sold out of little tiny fish? So anyway,
how did you transport the catfish?
Let's talk about how I got the catfish. It's in the rain. It even started hailing, Glenn. Hailing. And I am standing in line with all these old men to buy fish out of the back of a tractor trailer. And there was a guy that is standing in. And by the way, there's no top on the tractor trailer. So it's just like a flatbed tractor trailer with all of these large cylindrical containers. And this man is, I'm not kidding you, reaching into these vats and grabbing handfuls of fish.
That's
and putting them into like
there's a
plastic
job.
Bags, plastic bags, and then you know they do just like when you buy a goldfish, they put air in the bag.
Yeah,
you know? But these are not small bags. People are buying hundreds, so I ended up buying 25 catfish and 75 hybrid bluegill. I don't even know what that is. He said I need. Okay, sounds good. Do you know how much 100 fish costs?
I have no idea.
$40.
That's all. It'll cost you more than that at PetSmart to buy the little ones.
Right? You know how he's like, we're going to have to double bag these catfish. You think? Like poking holes in the bag. There's water spraying out everywhere. I barely got the things home. Then I get home.
Must have weighed a lot.
Like, I was like, can I put, yeah, I'm carrying giant bags. Like, pop, like, you know, just like a giant, ginormous bag of water and fish and putting them in my truck. And then I'm like, I'm starving. Lucas needs breakfast. It took an hour and a half. We're dying. He's like, oh, you're going to have to get home quick and put them in your pond. I'm like, of course I do, because it's raining. And I take big, giant bags of fish, and I did what they do. Like, when you buy a fish in the stores, I, like, let them float on top of the water first.
I don't know that that was necessary. Catfish can live through anything. I don't know about those other things, but how big were they? Like, 2 inches or...
They're tiny. Yeah. They're tiny. And then, of course, Lucas is like, I'm going fishing. I'm like, dude, they're like an inch and a half long. Yeah. You can't catch them right now.
The hook's bigger than they are.
Oh, my God. So, yes, I now have bought fish out of the back of a GD tractor trailer.
And the thing is, unlike the ones in your tank, you know, you bring them home and half die, which is always what happens. You don't know whether these are alive or dead.
I figured we'd see them floating on top if they, you know.
Well, that's
but then
probably
I realized
true.
We have birds.
Unless the catfish eat them. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, so there you go. Jennifer got to do an endurance race, and I got to buy fish out of the back of a
truck
trailer
in the rain.
This is one of those moments where I'm like, I'm going to kill my husband. I'm going to kill him. I cannot believe I'm standing here in the rain with a five-year-old trying to buy fish out of a tractor trailer and getting yelled at and made fun of by the guy selling them. Are you kidding me? You're going to have to help me out. I don't do this. I just moved here from the desert. We don't have fish.
All right. Well, while Jennifer's trying to get Dr. Chang rounded up, I do have some news about something we're doing later in the month. And that, of course, is Land Rover 3-day event in Kentucky. We're going to be there, and it was announced today by Horse and Hound that there will be three exciting British entries for the Kentucky 3-day event, which is bad for all the Americans entering, because the three that are coming are Oliver Townend, who is defending his title because he won last year, riding the same horse he won on last year, Cooley Masterclass. So the defending champion is returning. One other British rider who you might know of, Piggy French, who happened to win the World Equestrian Games Team Gold, is riding her horse that she brought to the World Equestrian Games, and that's Quarry Crest Echo, will be coming over. And then the third British entry, which is interesting, is Leslie Law. He was the 2004 Olympic champion, and he's not competed at the top level since 2010. Last year, he rode in the Nations Cup in Plains, Virginia. That was his first British team appearance since 2010. So he's going to have the same horse that he did last year for the World Cup. So we got three entries from England coming over. No William Fox Pitt. And, you know, several of the others that we usually see, I guess they're not making the trip this year. So that's who we got coming.
A question. Yeah. This is a dumb question, probably. By the way, we do realize it's April 1st, and we don't do April Fool's jokes on the show because Glenn knows I hate them. Here's the question. Why is it a 5-star all of a sudden?
They changed the rankings last year. So there's now it goes up to 5 stars. Don't ask me to explain it. It was very convoluted and very complicated. We went over it last year once, and I couldn't figure it out.
Can we get somebody on to talk about it beforehand? Jennifer, I'm putting in a request. I need somebody who is a working, functioning member of the United States Eventing Association. Come on here and explain to me why Rolex or
maybe
why Land Rover is
Max on, because Max is going to be the future president of the. She should understand
that would be it. The perfect guest. She should be able, hopefully, she can explain it. It's a test.
Well, we'll find out about that. Yeah, I haven't heard whether certain others from other European countries are coming, if you know who I mean. I have not heard yet about that. But we will be there. We want to invite everybody to join us. We're going to have a meetup on Cross Country Day at Jump Number One. We meet up usually half an hour before the start on Cross Country Day, Jump Number One. And then we all walk together for a while. If you want to walk for a little bit with us during the day, fine. If you want to go off on your own, fine. But everybody gets together and they all meet. We take a big group picture. So if you want to do that, that's great. And then also, we're going to be at the event for New Vocations. They have a party on Friday night. If you go to newvocations.com and click on the, I think it's the events tab, it'll give you the details. That is a paid thing, but it is a fundraiser for them. And Jamie and Jennifer and I and Joy, your co-host for the new show, Retired Racehorse Radio, we're all going to be there and we're going to be meeting everybody. So if you want to come and join us there, they're going to save a couple tables for Horse Radio Network. So we hope that we see you there. But that's what's going on for that. So Dr. Chang is apparently detained today. So we thought we would...
He's not in prison. He's just busy.
Yes, he's not been that kind of detained. probably a business thing. He kind of runs a big business. But we did have a recording that we did with him talking about stress, which Jennifer and Nigel had a little bit of over the weekend. And I know that you've had a few times in the past. So we want to play that for you. And then we're going to come back. We have another guest. We have first world problems. We have some more news stories. We're a lot more coming on today's show. But here's Dr. Chang from a previous appearance from Omega Alpha Equine. Dr. Chang, how are you?
Good morning. Very good, thank you.
Of course, Dr. Chang.
We're having some nice warm spells up here, so it can't be a bad day.
And Dr. Chang's in Canada. He's from Omega Alpha Equine.
And Dr. Chang, I bet you would love to come down here because we're going to have a nice warm spell too. It's supposed to be 121 tomorrow. In Phoenix.
Oh, we don't get that ridiculous.
Nobody does. It's actually going to break a record.
So hey, Dr. Chang, you know what I heard? I was at the airport yesterday, and you told me this too, Jamie. And there were people talking. They were discussing the day they were coming back because they close the airport when it gets too hot because of how it affects the runway or the planes or something.
Probably the tires on the tarmac.
Yeah, they close the airport because they can't land because it's too hot. It's like,
you need a bunch of swamp coolers out there, you know.
I would think all you do is to get the water trucks and just wet the thing down. That would bring the temperature down.
For about 3 seconds before it evaporates.
That's right.
That's true.
Well, Dr. Chang, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. The topic we're going to talk about today is reducing stress. And one of the products that you guys have is Chill, Equine Chill, and Chill Ultra Paste. And from experience, I would like to tell you, thank you for my life, because I think I would have died had I not given this to my horse. So one of my former event horses was such a stress case and such a monster that this actually really, really helped him out. So talk to us a little bit about reducing stress and Chill Ultra Paste.
Well, there's two aspects of stress I want to talk about. One is the mental aspect, and the other one is the physical aspect. Now, the things with the mental aspect with stress is that a lot of horses, competition horses especially, because of the stress of competition, the stress of training, etc., some of them, how would I say, get to be basket cases, right? And so if you're like doing dressage, for example, where you need to have a quiet, controlled horse, if you don't have a, if they're not quiet and controlled, it's a little bit difficult. Even racehorses, you know, I've seen racehorses get stressed just going into the gates, right? Starting gates, etc.
So you getting need to calm them down and let them focus. Get crazy. Yeah, they get crazy when you tack them up sometimes.
Yeah, and a lot of that stress sometimes can be caused by pain. One of the things that we tell to everybody, we have a product also called GastroFX, where horses under stress, as soon as you put the bit into their mouth, what happens? They release a lot of acids. The acids come and affect the stomach. The stomach, if there's an ulcer or an inflamed section, starts to get irritated, and they're in pain. When they're in pain, they're not going to cooperate, right? That's right. A physical thing. So if you take the GastroFX, you can help coat that irritated area. So it helps promote the healing process. But the key here is it takes away some of that pain or most of that pain. The other aspect you have to look at is the mental side of it. Now, the mental side of it is a lot. There are horses who... I call them troopers. I mean, they will be in a lot of pain, but they power through the pain and they come out to the other end smiling, even under pain. Those guys, when they're in pain, or you know, they can still focus. And then you have the ones who are, you know, not that good at it, right? And these ones will get distracted, and that separates a good horse from a great horse. Right. And sometimes with some of these horses, I call them the good horses, you need to give them the chill or the chill ultra pace. And basically what that does, it helps quiet them down without making them dopey or sleepy. Right. Mm-hmm. So it quiets them down. So you have something that will focus the horse. It'll control their anxieties, etc. Right. So that's the two products we have, chill and chill. And chill ultra pace. The pace is a convenience form. We have a few extra ingredients in the chill ultra pace, so it tends to work a little bit better than the chill itself. You know, the nice thing about anxiety and chill, you can have horses which, if they get anxious about getting into competition, if you give it to them prior to competition, what happens is that they learn not to be anxious during competition, because once they're quiet, they realize, you know, it's no big deal. It's like everybody else. You know, it's like people. I remember the very first talk I gave, I was a bundle of nerves, right? Mm-hmm. But you've done enough of them, then it becomes old hat. And once it's become old hat, you don't get anxious anymore. Now, right. Fortunately, I was able to do this without chill. Right, but some horses
find Dr. Chang under a table swigging chill from before he goes on the stage.
I think I might have to be under the table swigging something more stronger than chill, but it's okay, we're all good. You know, so and the nice thing about chill is that you can see effects fairly quickly. You don't have to wait for 6 months to say, "Hey, got into the system," blah blah blah. You know what I mean?
Really,
people see results fairly quickly with it.
And but what chill, chill ultra. So you don't have to do loading doses or anything. Do you just give it to them and it works, right?
Give it to them and it works. Now, the only thing I will say, the counter to that is that if the horse is already worked up and anxious and fretting, etc., your best thing to do with that horse, and you can use it for trailering, etc., the best thing for that horse to do, take him back, put him into the pen, the paddock, let him work his anxiety out, and then give it to him. Because once the horse is all anxious, etc., it doesn't work as well, right? So what you have to do is prior to him getting anxious, etc. So, for example, I know people who have a hard time trailering their horse. Mm-hmm. So what they do, they give the horse about 60 cc's, right? About 15 minutes prior to trailering. Horse is as good as gold. Or sometimes if you know the blacksmith is coming, right? You give the horse about 60 cc's horses as good as gold with the blacksmith, right? So there are many different ways, et cetera, to use this.
Right? I love using it for when I'm going to go do a dressage test. It just gets them a little more focused, you know, as opposed to being just a bundle of nerves. Getting a little more focused is nice. So something that's interesting that you said, I was commenting, I commented about that horse that I had that was a total nightmare that I think without chill, I would have died, you know? And it turns out, Dr. Chang, that he had massive ulcer issues. And then once we got that sorted out and, you know, he got gastroenteritis, he got like the whole gamut. He ended up having to get the omeprazole, everything, you know, it was just, he was such a disaster. And then after that, he didn't really... He calmed down because, like you were saying, the pain is gone. And so is a lot of the behavior created from pain, or is it which comes first? Like, does the pain create the behavior, or does the behavior create the pain?
There are horses who don't need the pain to create the behavior. It's just like people. Horses are just like people. They have some people who... they're just anxious. You know, it's something written in the genes, something in their past history, nurture, right?
I don't know what you're talking about, anxious. Dr. Chang. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right? There are some people who are very hyperactive. There are some horses who are very anxiety prone, and those, it's not related to the pain at all. It's just that's the way they're wired, right? And if you can calm them down a bit, what happens is that it's a positive stimulus in the sense that they learn not to have to be anxious at competition. So you can wean them off the use of any of these things, right? So there are those horses. And then there are horses who are pain. And with the horses who are anxious because of a pain, you have to help control the pain before you address the anxiety issues, right? And so on. So there are many paths to the same problem, because the anxiety is just a symptom of what's going on in the horse, right? Mm-hmm. It can be because of pain. It could be because of upbringing, etc., right? And the genetics and so on, and past history. But one of the things I wanted to touch upon too, because I know we only have a few minutes here, is the stress, physical effects of stress. Now, when on the human side, because we do sell on the human side, what happens with stress is that people don't eat, they don't sleep, they walk, they pace, etc. Well, horses suffer some of those things too. And you have to remember, horses during competition will release a lot of corticosteroids, etc., and so on into their system. And if they have a heavy commitment as far as performances goes or competition goes, what happens is that you get a buildup of those corticosteroids, and that affects a lot of body systems. One of the things that we have that will help with that is the product we call Endurogen. What that Endurogen does, it has a lot of herbs in there, what we call adaptogenic herbs. And what they do, they will counteract a lot of those effects of stress, right? So for some people, it's not a bad idea to try the Endurogen too. The only thing with the Endurogen is that it increases the energy levels of the horse. So one of the things you have to do is you got to play with the dose a little bit to make sure you get the right dose for your horse. You know, okay. But it helps a lot of the effects of stress, the physical side of it.
Interesting. I never would have thought about that.
Thank you, Dr. Chang. I'm glad he sticks up for me.
Well, I guess it's over then, Glenn.
Yep, that's it. So that was it. And it's omegaalphaequine.com, correct?
Yes, it okay. is. Well,
MegaAlpha.com. That's right. We changed it. So it's MegaAlpha.com, and that was from a previous recording that we did with Dr. Chang. So thank you to him. We appreciate that. Hey, they're coming in, Jamie. You can always count on the nations. So the nations are coming through with their April Fool's jokes. And I don't know, the one actually wasn't from one of the nations, so it caught me off guard today and almost got me. And that was the one from the United States Eventing Association about Boyd Martin to regain Australian citizenship.
I didn't see that. It's, I was like, that's not even the Nation. That's USEventing.com.
I know. And that's what threw me. See, I was expecting it from the Nations. But then when they put that up there, I was like, well, maybe this is true.
Poor boy. Didn't he last year, somebody said he was going to quit horses and start training cats?
Yes. Boyd always seems to be the one that gets it. But they made it sound convincing because the first line was, with the U.S. tightening down on immigration policy, Martin will change his citizenship back to Australia starting in 2020. I was like, really?
No!
That caught me. Well, this brand new one just came out. Let me read the headline to you. This was from Jumping Nation. In a recent press release, the United States Equestrian Federation announced a new partnership between international donut mogul Krispy Kreme and the USEF. As part of the sponsorship agreement, the inaugural Krispy Kreme CSI five-star Show Jumping Spectacular was born. The one-of-a-kind show jumping experience will be held in the fall of 2020. While most upper-level competitions are sponsored by a luxury brand, Krispy Kreme felt its partnership was more in keeping with the American lifestyle. In addition to the show sponsorship, Krispy Kreme will be providing free donuts and their signature bold roasted coffee for all competitors and spectators each morning throughout the event. Americans don't want luxury timepieces. We found that even the upper levels, all American show jumpers really want is to kick back with a dozen donuts.
Let me stop you there. If there was a table of coffee and donuts and a table of luxury watches, I would choose the watch.
I don't know. Most of these riders would probably choose the coffee and donuts.
Okay, now there was some real news today, too, wasn't there?
About which?
So just so you guys know, what we do is I look at this page of show notes, and it's a kind of an outline of what we do and what we're going to talk about. Because remember, Glenn and I are across the country from each other. But there's a section where he puts news. And then there's a section where he put his April Fool's jokes that I can see. And your April Fool's joke is that Boyd Martin to regain Australian citizenship.
Right.
But you also put down in the real news section some other news. And it begged me to think, do you think that this is actually true? Did you put some real news?
Are you talking about maximum security?
No. In the real news section, he put, and I've been waiting for you to do this news story, but I'm going to jump in. Small ponies now 12.3 hands. Increase in American children's height prompts governing horse show agents to raise heights for all pony hunters. Ponies are now officially 14.3. They go all the way up to 14.3 because American children are growing taller. Did you think that was real?
I'd put it in there to see if you think it was real. I thought I could catch you on that.
Don't you lie to me. You thought you put that in the real news section. And I was like, oh, please.
You can compliment the plaid horse for that one.
I showed Chad this and I was like, please, God, let him do this as a real news story. And other news, pony.
No, the plaid horse put that up today. That was plaid horses. We have to credit plaid horse with that one. I thought I could catch you with that one.
Yeah.
But it made sense, actually. This one really made sense because they said they announced today that pony measurements will increase because kids. And they even quoted in the article, it's so funny. They even had quotes from clothing manufacturers. Gap Kids and American Eagle Outfitters have been adding inches to the height of their base model pants. I mean, they went through this whole scientific thing.
You believed it. And you were going to do it as real news.
No, I really was hoping I'd catch you. I had to try. Oh, well.
Moving on. yes. No, Maximum Security is a horse that won at 68. The 68th Florida Derby was bought for $16,000. So that's a great.
And he's going to be one coming on for the Kentucky Derby. He qualified. His owners didn't even show up to the race because he was such a long shot.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no, they didn't go because he was a long shot. He was bought for $16,000 claiming race at Gulfstream. And then he turns around and wins the Florida Derby for $1 million. I mean, and I love what the winning trainer said. This Jason Service, he said, I guess that ruins my fishing in May. So he's going to be going to the Kentucky Derby. I had to have good news after the latest bad news again. Jeez.
Do you know what's funny? You mentioned that about the fishing in May because I heard something in Oklahoma. I got one more for you. It just reminded me of that. We were going to look at pricing furniture for the next house, you know, like ovens, and you have to kind of pick out those things so you can start to get a bid for your house and to get your loans and everything. And we go in and we sit down at the table and Chad's like, hold on, I wrote this down because I have to remember what it said. He goes, Chad goes, hey man, how's business? And the guy goes, ain't been bird hunting all month. So it, in other words, business is booming because he hasn't had time to shoot a bird.
We got priorities, Jamie.
Hey, how's business? I ain't been bird hunting all month.
All right. Well, while you get question first world problems ready, I have to bring up something that we didn't get time for. We couldn't do because we didn't have the show on Friday. Let me pull that up. Because we didn't have the show on Friday, I didn't have time to do this particular story. And I was so excited about it. And that is, and by the way, because we didn't have the show on Friday, we will give the prize away this week, and we'll roll over all of your ads, so you don't have to worry about that.
We needed a personal day.
Yep. Finally, we might be able to get Carrie Underwood on the show. I could never get her on the show. She's been my dream guest on the show, but I've never been able to get her on the show because she's Carrie Underwood and didn't have a horse. And
let me tell you really why she won't come on. It's because
I've been stalking her.
Your wife's a producer. Her job is to get the guests, and she hasn't even tried.
Well, now we have a new reason to get her because her and her husband, Mike Fisher, welcomed a new four-legged member to their family. That's right. They got a horse. And they put it on Instagram. They got a new horse called Bojangles. She said it was a lifelong dream of her husband, Mike Fisher's, to own a horse.
Oh,
he's a cowboy guy. She grew up on a farm, but I don't think they had horses. And the first picture was of him and Bojangles, and she got herself a paint horse. So, Jennifer, can you hop on that? Now they have a horse, we can get her on. We have a reason. I have an excuse. Get her on. Mm-hmm. Carrie Underwood.
I'm sure.
Just call her people.
She's probably listening right now.
Yeah, I'm sure she is. I'm sure, you know, now that they're horse owners, they probably looked for horse podcasts, and they found us. Mm-hmm. So, hi, Carrie. We want to talk to you. Letting you know.
You've scared her away. All right, you ready for some first world problems? And remember, if you have a horse problem, it is a first world problem. We live here, you know, in the United States mainly. We do have listeners in other countries. And those of you who are listening to this podcast, if you have horse problems, they're first world too, because you have technology to listen. So these are submitted by our auditors. So if you have a first world problem and you want to submit, you need to join the auditors group, which you can do at horseradionetwork.com. All right. Matt says, while we had the sick horse in the barn, I got stains on my wife's Dooley halter. So now I have to buy her another one, which is going to make three. And we already have more regular halters than horses, with the ratio of almost three halters to one horse. And that is a horse husband for you right there, because I have a ton of horses and a ton of halters. And I don't know how many I have, but the men count. They do. You count. But you shouldn't have got medicine on your wife's Dooley halter. We ride in those. Samantha says, it's in the 30s on my day off and in the 70s on the day I work. How am I supposed to clip my horse?
Weather is always in these, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Bailey says, I was really in the mood to do some tack shopping with my friend the other day, but I don't need anything. I have too much stuff. Okay. Kayla says, I'm so busy with my training business that I finally could justify hiring somebody. And she's making more than I am.
Ugh, that is so true. In any business you're ever going to own when you're the owner.
Yep.
The employees always make more than you do.
Carrie says, four words. Gray horse, mud season. Ugh. Reason not to own a gray
horse. Yeah.
Lindsay says, my horse Rocket has been doing so great and I'm super excited to start jumping him, but I have to go on vacation this week, so I can't start jumping until next week. Tear the tiny violins. Courtney says, I ordered a new bit and bridle for an amazing deal, but it hasn't shipped yet and I want to use it now.
Getting back to the previous one, if you weren't married, okay, let's say you're single, what percentage of horse women would rather ride their horse than go on a vacation?
Who do I have to go with?
See, I knew that was going to be the next question.
I mean, like, I went to Jamaica one time with a boyfriend, and it was miserable. All he wanted to do was lay there and read. I was like, you're boring. Get up. We're going to do something. We're going hiking. We're riding horses.
Yeah, you're not much for laying on the beach, you know, sunning yourself all day.
God. Yeah. Ugh. And then I went to New York with another boyfriend, and he just wanted to, like, sit and drink coffee at cafes. And I'm like, this is so lame.
You can do that in Atlanta.
God. Why are we here? That's a first world problem. I've had too many vacations.
Yeah, exactly.
Boring with boyfriends. Joy says that I got out my spring jacket. Like, yay, it's spring. She lives in Michigan. I got out my spring jacket, but the pockets are full of horse treats from last year. Ugh. Gross. Again, like one of the other auditors said, thank God you didn't wash it, because that would have been really gross. Always check your pockets this time of year, because there's going to be one of us who puts their hand in your pocket and you find money. Always check your pockets. Kimberly says, and it's so similar, our auditors have such similar problems all over the world. There are so many great sales for horsey stuff right now, but I don't need anything. Can I tell you, too, what I did this weekend was Chad has been toying around with selling his Jeep, which is a total piece of garbage Jeep Cherokee that he bought just so he could commute back and forth. And so he's like, okay, I'll sell it for $1,900. I put it online. I had to deal with the crazy Craigslist and Facebook's creepers sending me messages. You know, hey, if anybody ever says, hey, I'll buy your Jeep and I'm going to pay you extra. I don't have time to come see it, but I'll give you an extra $100. In this check, just I need your account number so I can put money in it.
They're still doing that scam, huh?
I got it yesterday and I replied with go F yourself. I wanted $1,900 and I was like, I think it's worth $2,100. And so guess what? I sold it for $2,100. So boom, I took $200 and I'm going shopping.
How did I know
Rolex.
That was
going
to be the next statement out of your mouth?
He was like, I guess you do. You know, I was going to sell for $1,900. And so here's $200. Like, yay! It was kind of
well, I got news for you. You can take a trip to Greece because it just came out on Horse Nation that Donkey Uber is growing in popularity in the Greek Isles. Two Greek businessmen have come up with a way to make extra money while giving their donkeys a slightly easier job. Donkey Uber. And they have a picture of donkeys with saddles on in the
Leslie
Greek
Isles. Leslie Wiley, go back to bed. Okay. Samantha says, by the way, with the great sales, this is just a hot tip. Samantha says that there is going to be an epic used tax sale Saturday at the Maker's Mark Secretariat Center.
Oh.
And that's at the horse park.
Yeah, that's at the horse park.
I'm in.
Why didn't they wait to do that during Rolex? They would have sold everything.
Yeah, it's the Saturday of Land Rover.
Yeah. It is that Saturday. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Poor Lorene. Okay, I'm going to finish up with Lorene because I feel very sad for her and everybody else who's listening to this right now because Lorene says, and she's very Brooklyn, so you have to say this in a very Brooklyn accent, but I can't talk like that, but I'll try. It's Monday. I didn't win the Powerball, so instead of riding my horse, I had to go to work so I could pay for him to eat.
I can hear Lorene saying that, too.
I know, right? I didn't win. All of a sudden, I'm Mike Myers, you know?
Well, thank you, everybody. We're all glad you have first world problems because it makes our show more entertaining.
Thank God
at your
you
expense.
Do.
So
yeah. We appreciate everything.
So, Jennifer, were we able to get the guest?
Jessica is just pulling off the road so she can speak on her phone safely, and we will have her momentarily.
Okay, good.
Oh, you mean she's not going to text and drive?
I got this.
No, did you see the police can stop you when you text and drive with their handy-dandy radar gun now?
How do they know you're texting and driving with their radar?
Well, they point the thing at you just like they do a radar gun, but it's a special fancy radar gun, and it will automatically render your telephone useless forever.
Jennifer,
It's April Fool's Day.
Did you just read an article that said that?
Of course it is. Oh, hilarious.
Well, while we're waiting for her.
Know, the number of people I see texting and driving, I don't think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, exactly. I saw, I was on the road a little bit this weekend, and I saw a bunch of people texting and driving. And it's not just 20-year-olds either.
By the way, I told Chad, he used to drive a motorcycle, and I'm like, you can't drive a motorcycle. He's like, but I'm a good driver. Yeah, you're great, but everybody else around you sucks.
Yeah, no, there was another accident with a horse trailer. Same thing. Pulled out in front of the horse trailer. Hey, I found this on Horse Nation. This was from the other day, so it's not April Fool's, but it was kind of funny. 10 terrifying texts that you get, everybody gets from their trainer at one point or another. All right? So we'll see if you've done this to your students. See you in 10 minutes. Go ahead and take your stirrups off for the day.
Yes! You don't need those today. Go ahead and pop those suckers off.
Next text to your student. I think we should school the open water today. So, school in the water.
Do they have
today.
Gifts that go along with them?
Yes. Yes, they do. How about I'm sending you a new invoice? It's a little more than last month.
I just get those.
Yeah, that's right. You just get those.
I told Chad it. I'm like, I got to go buy some hay today. He's like, how much does this cost? Don't worry.
Oh, I don't ask anymore. The hay
why
down here
he
is ridiculously expensive. I mean, it is crazy expensive.
Do you know where the hay I buy comes from? Arizona.
Really?
Yes, because you can't buy alfalfa hay from Oklahoma.
Because it all goes to
cows. It has blister beetles.
Oh, really?
So they give it to cows. Yes.
Huh. Yes. So you move to one of the most fertile places in the world.
Yes.
And you can't buy the hay.
Correct.
How about the next one? I think he needs X, Y, and X injected. In other words, all those joints need injected.
Cha-ching!
Yeah, remember that wall he keeps stopping at a few months ago? Yeah, I put that back up in the ring today.
Yes, I like it. I've tortured children with that.
Yes.
Hey, remember that that little Liverpool we made? It's back. You know how your horse destroyed it? We fixed it.
I feel like you don't realize that you're doing that, but you definitely are doing that. And that could account to about 1,000 things, right? Heels down, dick straight, all of those things.
Jen, stop looking at the fence moments before you jump it. When you drop your eye, you drop your shoulders, and your horse drops his eye and drops his shoulders and stops. Jennifer, quit it.
And nobody thinks they do that, right? I mean, nobody thinks they do that.
I didn't look. I'm standing right here. I've got it on video in slow motion. Slow-mo videos are great.
All right, let's go to our guest. We have Jessica on, and Jessica's a terrific auditor of ours. And listeners that have been with us for a little while, remember that we started following Jessica on her great adventure. Her great adventure was hooking up the horse trailer and traveling around the country, being a horse bum. And she started up there in New England, and she made her way to Arizona. We haven't really checked in with her since she's been down there, and she got to ride in a cool place over the weekend. So good morning, Jessica.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. You've been in Arizona for quite a while, haven't you?
I have. I've been here since mid-November.
And was it just the perfect place to be this year?
I'll say it was the best winter I've ever had coming from New Jersey, where winter is miserable.
Yes, New Jersey is
and
just
and it's funny because people in Arizona have been complaining about the winter. And she's like, it was the best winter.
It was pretty bad, but compared to New Jersey standards, it was great. We camped at a place up in the mountains outside of Tucson, and from maybe like Christmas until mid-February, we had snow and rain and freezing temperatures, like overnight temperatures down in the 20s. It was absolutely brutal.
And you were sleeping in, what are you sleeping in? Do you have a living quarters trailer, right?
No, we actually live in a camper, a bumper pull camper, and then I have a separate two-horse trailer
That's
for the
right.
horses. But
That's
we only have one truck, so whenever we move camp, we have to do two trips to shuttle it. So actually what I'm doing today is hauling the camper from Tombstone, Arizona, to southern Utah. And I'm going to drop it off and then head back down to Tombstone to pick up Byron and the horses
That's
and then
a
we'll
long
make
drive.
Our way with the horses.
That doesn't seem very efficient. Yeah.
I think two trucks. I think two trucks would make this go a lot better.
Or living quarters trailer, but yeah. Whatever. We're not here to change your life. We just want to hear about it.
So what was your highlights from being from your riding experiences in Arizona? I know you just got done in Tombstone, so maybe we'll start there. Was that pretty cool?
It was very cool. There's a ton of history in that area, so we were able to go into downtown where the famous OK Corral shootout happened and go to some of the bars like Doc Holliday's that have all this history around them. But then
Wait a minute. Stop there. Did you tie your horse to the rail outside and go in and get a beer?
I wasn't brave enough to take the horses into real downtown Tombstone because there are gunfights all day where they reenact the famous fight. But nearby, there's a guest ranch that has kind of like a facade of the old Western Tombstone town with hitching rails where you can tie the horses and a saloon where you can go in and have a drink. So yesterday at the end of our ride, we stopped over there, tied the horses to the hitching rails and had some margaritas looking out the window at them.
That's pretty cool. That's kind of everybody's dream, right?
Going to Tombstone is really fun. We had it, and Chad and I went, and it was my birthday. He's like, we've been planning this trip to just take a day trip down to Tombstone. And I found out about 4 days before the trip that I was pregnant. I was like, you want to talk about walking around in saloons in Tombstone, watching your husband drink beer, and you have to sit there and just watch him? I'm so pissed. Like, who gets pregnant and goes to Tombstone? Nobody. Big Nose Kate Saloon, you can't even have a shot of whiskey.
So you got to ride a good bit down there, around there, right? I saw some amazing pictures.
Yeah. I can't even tell you how many miles we've done in Tombstone. I have been tracking my mileage. So since December 1st in Arizona, we've done at least 480 miles.
Oh, my God. Wow. And didn't you buy a new horse, too?
We did. So leaving New Jersey, we just had my horse, Mackenzie, who's a Cleveland Bay mare. And I had been trying to convince Byron, my partner, that it would be better for the horse if she had a buddy and better for him because he could join me on rides without having to hike or ride a bike along with me. And he was a little cautious and wanted to see how stressful it would be moving around with a horse. And about a month after being in Arizona, I finally managed to convince him that it would be a lot more fun if he could ride a horse with me and go out into the backcountry and go longer distances that he couldn't do on foot. So we started shopping for a horse, and I had heard about Randy Helm and the Florence prison system. Trading Mustangs. So we went down to the prison to shop for a horse. Ultimately didn't end up getting one from there. But we eventually found a horse on Craigslist that was like just a couple miles away from the campground where we were staying. And I bought her 3 days before Christmas. And she's turned out to be a really great horse. He's a beginner. And she carts him around and is just the sweetest thing on earth.
Aww.
And I just took her to our first limited distance endurance ride.
This is great. A Craigslist horse comes through. Was she advertised as a husband safe horse, and did you believe it? I mean,
not exactly. The ad was very sparse. There were like pictures of her tied up to a trailer, and they said, oh, she's been to Tombstone and seen the gunfights and, you know, not bomb proof, but good. But, you know, I went there expecting it to be complete BS, you know, and
yeah.
I didn't even want the horse after seeing her. And Byron actually convinced me that we should get her and just try, and we could always sell her if she didn't work out for him. So we did, and no regrets.
That's awesome.
That's very cool. And he loses his horse husband card. Can you please let him know that? That's
He's an owner now.
Yeah, that's right. So where else did you go in Arizona? Was there something that stood out to you?
Well, riding around the camp where we were in Oracle, which was in the mountains outside of Tucson, was really amazing. We could climb up onto these high peaks and look down the sheer cliff sides. And I mean, it was a little scary riding horses who aren't exactly used to single track trail around the mountain with a big drop off. And I certainly wasn't used to it, but it was, the views were just absolutely spectacular. And then 2 weeks ago, we went to Sonoyta, Arizona, to this historic ranch called Empire Ranch. And that was where the endurance ride was held. And it's just like beautiful hills and rolling grassland. And Byron stayed back in camp while I did the endurance ride, and I realized after the fact it would be really nice if he got to see this too. Plus, we've been enjoying riding the Arizona Trail, which is this 800-mile-long trail that spans the state of Arizona going from Mexico to Utah. And the Arizona Trail runs through this area of Sonoyta. So we packed up the horses on Saturday and trailered them over to the grasslands and the Arizona Trail, and we got to ride through beautiful, beautiful countryside with big mountains with snow-capped peaks on one side of us and then lowland and flat grassland on the other side, and it was just really spectacular and beautiful.
Not something you see in New Jersey on a regular basis. So
no, definitely not.
So you also, it's so funny, I heard you say, and this caught my attention, you said, oh, those cliffs, you know, the single track and looking over the side. You're a mountain climber. You guys have also been doing mountain climbing while you're there. And then to hear you say that, I was like, wow, she's a mountain climber. And she was on the horse, though, it's a different story, huh?
Well, see, when we're rock climbing, we have ropes attached to us. So if we fall, we're not going to die. If my horse spooks or does something stupid on the side of a mountain, we could just fall.
It's true.
And that's the scary part.
It's true. I looked at some of your hiking pictures as you're posting them, and you find some rocks to climb.
Yeah, we've done quite a bit of climbing out here. We even took a side trip to Mexico to go rock climbing. So that was a lot of fun.
Well, you're living everybody's dream, and now we're heading to Utah. And how long are you going to be in Utah?
We'll be in Utah for the month of April. I'm hoping to do an endurance ride that kind of goes through a little bit of Zion National Park.
Okay.
And then from there, our plan is to move our base camp up to South Dakota. And then we're going to go through Wyoming and Montana and then probably Oregon and California for the rest of the summer.
Well, that's very cool. That's really cool. And of course, Utah, you're going to have some rocks to climb there too, like the ultimate. So that's going to be so much fun for you guys. Congratulations. You're making it work.
Thank you. Yeah, it'll be a year that we've been houseless in June. So far we love it and we hope to just keep doing it indefinitely.
Are you getting sick of each other in that little trailer? Are there days? Please tell me there's days that you're not the perfect couple.
There are definitely tense moments, such as moving day when we have to pack everything up and argue about what stuff we throw out of the refrigerator and all that stupid stuff. We were up at 5 a.m., you know, like breaking camp, like draining tanks and wrapping up hoses and hooking up the trailer. So it can be pretty stressful.
Well, enjoy your pretty ride. That's a pretty ride you're going on up there to Utah, and you get to do it twice.
Yeah.
Have fun, Jessica.
Thank you.
All right, we'll check in with you and keep posting pictures. I'm looking at every one of them, so keep posting.
Yeah, I absolutely will.
All right, thanks a bunch. Have a good trip. Be safe.
All right. Thank you. See you guys.
Bye.
So are you jealous of somebody like that, or would that be a nightmare? You would think that would be a nightmare.
Oh, I mean, parts of it are so cool. I would like to point out that she's not driving across the country once. She's driving across the country twice.
I know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, see, they have to haul their trailer separate. I think I would have found a different way. But you know, they probably had limited funds. And you're not working. Or I guess he does work from the road. I think that was part of the deal. I don't know that you could do this with kids, could you? The way they're doing it? You'd have to homeschool, which takes some of the fun out of things.
You know why you couldn't do it with kids? Because you would literally want to kill yourself.
Yeah, you got three or four people in that small camper.
Oh, my God. Breaking news, babe. Breaking news. According to the zebra.org, a 2-year-old zebra hybrid is to compete in the Kentucky Derby this year.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
What's its name?
Well, I have to click on the story. I'm going to give them traffic. They're going to be like, wow, so many people. Okay, this is paperwork has been filed with the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission suggesting a horse of a different stripe might take all the roses this year, named Kalahari. It's a colt that has been clocking record times in Middleburg, Virginia.
Wow.
I mean,
amazing.
Watch out.
Amazing. All right, let's take a look at I'm going to take a look at Horse Nation again quick and see what the next one is, because they usually come out with them about every hour. Nope, no new ones.
No new ones.
No breaking news from Horse Nation. I'm sorry.
On April 1st, it's the only day of the year that people actually critically evaluate things they read on the internet before accepting they're true.
Probably true.
Should be every day, people.
All right, that's it. Well, you don't have to. We're not April fooling you this way. In that tomorrow it is jumping day. So, and I just got a message from Emily this morning that they've been doing this jumping episode, and I didn't realize this, for 5 years. It's their anniversary today. They started April 1st, 5 years ago, doing the jumping episode. And she posted a picture of when we first met. We met at Ada, actually. It was where we first met 6 years ago. So,
right, because they were selling. Is she still doing the
Equestrian? Yeah, she still does as Equestrian. And does it seem like 5 years she's been doing that show with us? I guess it has been. So she'll be here tomorrow. And then later in the week, we have Dr. Wendy. We'll be coming back with the driving episode. We have something special there. We have a special guest coming on because Wendy and I are both from Florida. And we all know, we talked about it at length last time when the news came out that the Greyhound racing was going to end. Well, we have an advocate for Greyhound adoption from Florida coming on to talk about how that's all going to happen and how they're really working hard to get those 7,000 Greyhounds homes, because it'll end next year. So, but the rescue groups are really working hard at that, and Wendy and I have a soft spot for Greyhounds, her being a veterinarian and us having owned many. So we're going to talk about that and talk about how you can get one of the Greyhounds that's going to be coming up for adoption over the next year. So that's a special thing we're going to do on Thursday's episode. But other than that, and Friday we'll give away some boots and have some really bad ads and have some fun.
Breaking news. You know that Horse Nation is launching a new network? It's Horse Nation Network. It's going to be a television network of all things Eventing Nation, Horse Nation, and Jumper Nation.
Leslie's going to TV.
Creator, he says, this is going to be big. This is going to have, they're going to, the tentative lineup for Horse Nation. Is Insanity in the Middle with Boyd Martin. Poor Boyd.
He's in every
Eventing
one of these.
Music commentary. The Sandbox. Clear on sliding stop for Rainers and Western things. Of racing news called The Final Furlong. The Feed Scoop. All in the horse news that's fit to air. A comedy channel. Comedy show. Man. This seems like posting it on April 1st. Would be a giveaway. It's very convincing. It starts April 30th. We'll see if it's a joke or not. All I know is I tried to click on it all morning and the link wasn't working. So
I guarantee it's an April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although Leslie might want to be on TV. You never know. Never know. Yeah. All right, everybody. We'll see y'all. We'll see y'all tomorrow morning.
Hey, Neuter Geld.
You got to go fishing.
I gotta go feed the fish.
Oh, do you have to feed him too?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
One more thing to feed.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold it. Stop. We didn't do what we've learned on the show today. Jennifer's already bailed out, so it's up to us. What have we learned on the show today? We didn't do it. We forgot.
my God.
It's a thing now.
You played the music too quick. What did you learn today?
What did I learn today? I learned that two people traveling the country can do it and will have a good time most of the time. But there will be moments.
Okay.
I learned that.
Okay. I learned today that a zebra is going to be in the Derby and that Boyd Martin is going to be an Australian again and that ponies are now officially 14-3. That's what I learned.
I learned that if you're going to shop for fish, you better know what the hell you're asking for because they're going to be pissed if you waste their time.
And they make fun of you, yes. Kind of mansplain everything to me.
Were you the only woman in the entire line?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was just mad you even walked up to his truck.
How dare you? It's a female attempt to do something.
I also learned that Jennifer is going to get a hold of Carrie Underwood, and we're going to have her on the show. I learned that.
I think to make this I learned thing successful is you don't just keep going. You have to like summarize everything and then it's the other person's turn and then it's end. Play the music again. We're done. Because you're screeching.
Carrie Underwood. She's coming on the show. We have her booked for Friday. This Friday.